Hello, and welcome to Soothing Pod Sleep Stories. My name is Laura, and tonight I will be your guide as we travel back to 17th century Paris, where we will unwind and find beauty in the romantic tale of Cyrano and his star-crossed lover, Roxanne. Before we begin, however, let us take a moment to unwind and find comfort in the space that we are in, here and now. Close your eyes and allow your body to sink into the mattress beneath you. There are no obligations here and now. There is no to-do list. Right now, you are here to simply rest. And you are doing that just by listening to my voice right now, as it takes you on a relaxing journey. You are doing that by going back to old Paris, by slipping into the beautiful story of Cyrano. With your eyes still closed, I want you to try and imagine yourself in a boat. It's a long, sturdy wooden boat, lazily moving along a slow-paced river. We are sailing along the Seine in Paris, back in the 1600s, when Cyrano's story takes place. Around you, you can hear the faint sounds of the city, the sound of horse hooves clopping over cobblestone streets, the sound of groups of men and women going about their day, laughing and telling one another stories as they make their way along the river, enjoying the feeling of the fresh air on their skin and the soft breeze on their cheeks. They are nearby, but you have complete privacy and space. You are floating along in your boat on the river, listening to the sound of the water gently lapping against the sides of the wood. Melding with that soothing sound is the sound of the nearby plants rustling in the fragrant breeze. The breeze that is tinged with the scent of freshly baked bread, of fruity ciders, of pastries made by happy bakers going about their days. It is a peaceful day in Paris, and the boat you are lying in is utterly comfortable. You can feel the touch of sun rays on your body a little stronger now, filling you with warmth and relaxation. In fact, you can feel beams of the sun landing upon you as the trees overhead filter the sunlight. And with each beam comes a feeling of relaxation in one specific place. First, you feel the warm sunlight on the crown of your head. Under its touch, you feel yourself melting deeper and deeper into the soft blanket beneath you on the boat. Any thoughts that have become tangled in your mind are ever so slowly untangling, allowing your head to feel free of clutter, more relaxed and clear than it has felt all day. Then, the beams spread across your whole body, untangling any tension or stress you may be carrying. Savor that feeling with me. With the sun's beams covering your whole body now, enveloping you in a feeling of complete warmth, you focus on the sounds of the city around you yet again. You focus on the course of the river, winding right, then left, right, then left, right, then left. You focus on the sound of the trees and flowers rustling behind you, the sound of people in the distance, laughing and talking in soft French that makes you feel at ease. And now, let us begin our story. The sound of footsteps making their way to a theatre were the footsteps of Savinien de Serrano de Bergerac, or Cyrano, as we will call him from now on. It's 1640 in Paris, and night has swept over the beautiful city. Birds are asleep in their nests, and crickets are chirping from the underbrush, bringing a sense of peace and calm to the entire city. Cyrano makes his way through the cobblestone streets to the theatre, where quite an exciting night awaits him. This is the night that will change his life forever. Cyrano was a cadet in the French army. Viewed by many with respect, he was a strong-willed man who possessed a cunning wit and impeccable swordsmanship. But perhaps the skill that Cyrano was most proud of was his writing ability and his eloquence. He was a natural poet, having the ability to weave poetry out of nothing and make the darkest of situations ones of beauty and light. But Cyrano was not a perfect man. He was born with an incredibly large nose, something that others would taunt him about and tease him for constantly. Though Cyrano was everything a woman could ever want, a hard worker, a gifted poet, sensitive, giving, and intelligent, he feared that he would never find love. He believed that his ugliness would prevent him from achieving his dream of being loved by anyone. However, that did not stop Cyrano from being in love. The love of his life caught his eye at an early age, though he was not the only one with eyes for her. He loved Roxanne, a beautiful red-haired woman full of grace, generosity, and intellect. There were many nights when Cyrano would watch her perched in her window, a poetry book opened in her lap. He would watch her from the street in the moonlight and the softly flickering light of her candlelight as she flipped the pages, her eyes full of wonder. He loved the way her lips curled into a smile any time she encountered an especially soul-stirring line. The way she would brush her ginger curls back behind her ear when they fell forward. The way she would sometimes laugh out at lines, sending the bright and brilliant sound echoing through the courtyard. He longed only to make her laugh, to see her smile, to see the magic in her eyes as she observed the beauty in the world. Though he knew she could never love him back, she was a sophisticated woman, an intelligent woman, and a beautiful woman. No matter how intelligent, how eloquent, how wealthy Cyrano was, he would never be with a woman like Roxanne. The world would simply not allow it. Yet that night, as Cyrano arrived at the Hotel de Bourguignon's theatre, he could not get Roxanne out of his mind. The crowd attending the play that night was a mixed bunch. Everyone from pickpockets to nobility were in attendance, which made for quite a good show. But Cyrano wasn't there for the show, and it seemed a few other people were also there for other reasons. Christian de Neuville was in attendance. He was a handsome new cadet serving with Serrano. He arrived at the theatre with Liniere, a drunkard with vast knowledge of the town and the people that lived within it. Christian had fallen in love with a woman he had had a short encounter with, and he was hoping that Liniere could tell him who the woman was. After Christian described the woman in detail, Liniere knew immediately that he was referring to Roxanne. But that was not particularly good news. Count de Guiche, a wealthy aristocrat, had plans to marry her off to Viscount de Valverde, a man who was also deeply in love with her. When the play began, however, there were even more pressing matters at hand. An actor who was banned from the theatre walked on stage, and being a man of morals, Serrano was forced to toss him from the stage. Valverde grew tired of the fanfare surrounding Serrano. Frustrated, he rose from his chair and taunted Serrano for his large nose. Serrano replied with a list of witty insults of his own, disappointed that Valverde had picked such a simple, unimaginative insult to hurl upon him. Serrano declared that he would duel Valverde, and not only that, but he would recite a poem as he did so. As they prepared for the duel, Serrano recited loud enough for all to hear, "My hat into the air takes wing. I strip my cloak and so prepare, all carelessly aside tossing. From leather sheath my sword I bear. My revealed elegance is spare, ferocious, agile, fighting fit. So fawning flatterer, beware. For when the refrain ends, I hit." Then the two began to duel. With every swing of his sword, Serrano's voice echoed through the room, thrilling everyone who had the pleasure of watching the cunning display. "Now where should I begin cutting, to carve and serve this peacock fair? What shall we have? A leg? A wing? Your pretty ribbons I will tear, and pluck the feathers from your hair. Like buzzing fly my point does flit. Where will it land? Why, anywhere. For when the refrain ends, I hit. I choose my rhymes with every swing, fit word to blow with utmost care. You're hoping for an opening, but will not take me unaware. I parry and evade the snare. I bind the blade and twist a bit. Look to your sword. It's in mid-air. For when the refrain ends, I hit. To highest heaven, make your prayer for mercy. God may answer it. But I coupe and faint and there. The refrain's ended and I hit." And with the final line, Serrano struck Valverde, knocking him to the ground. The crowd erupted in uproarious applause, and Serrano slunk backstage, his head held high. But even after a successful duel, even after receiving all the praise, Serrano could only think of Roxanne. It was as though she was the sun in his sky, providing him with warmth and hope, as if she was the ground beneath his feet, stabilizing him and urging him onward. Overwhelmed by his feelings of love for Roxanne, Serrano took his dear friend Lebret aside. The two sat in the back of the stage, lit by dim candlelight. They listened to the heavy footsteps of people leaving the theatre, and only after many had filled out did Serrano feel confident enough to speak his truth to Lebret. And then, he still only dared to speak the half-truth. He confessed to Lebret that he had held deep insecurity about his nose, that he feared it would ruin any chance at love he would have in the future, and that it was already keeping him from his beloved. Lebret asked him who the woman was, but Cyrano could only smile. He told Lebret that she was the most intelligent woman he had ever encountered. She was graceful. She brought warmth and compassion everywhere she went. And she was a woman of absolute beauty. He could not imagine living in this world without her being nearby. And yet, he knew she could never truly be his. Cyrano did not have to speak her name for Lebret to know who he was speaking of. Roxanne was the only woman who undeniably matched all of those attributes, and Lebret had caught Cyrano staring at her many times. But it wasn't the lustful, hungry look that many men gave her. It was a look of unconditional love. Cyrano looked at Roxanne as if she was the only person on the planet, as if she was the being who made the sun rise and fall each and every day. The love and passion that welled within his eyes whenever they fell upon her was almost too pure for this earth. And yet, Lebret feared that Cyrano was right. Could Roxanne love a man of his appearance? And even if she did, would society even allow her to? In the midst of this conversation, Cyrano and Lebret were approached by Roxanne's duenna. Cyrano visibly brightened at the sight of her, a smile already curling the ends of his lips the instant he realized who was standing before him. She had a message for Cyrano, a message that Roxanne wanted to speak with him. Hearing that made warmth spiral through Serrano's body. He could feel the butterflies taking flight in his stomach. For a moment, he felt as though he was weightless. He passed a message back to the duenna, agreeing to meet Roxanne at 7 the next morning at a bakery. Cyrano was filled with passion and hope, for tomorrow morning, he would be in the presence of the woman he loved so dearly. The woman who held his heart in her hands, whether she was aware of it or not. And when it was close to 7 the next morning, Cyrano felt as though he was walking on air. He made his way to the bakery, his head held high. As he rounded the corner, the homey, comforting smell of rising bread and freshly baked cinnamon sweets filled his lungs, relaxing his heart, which seemed to beat louder and louder with every step he took closer toward the bakery. He sat in the bakery for quite some time, waiting for Roxanne to arrive. The owner of the shop buzzed around with the men making his pastries, reciting poetry and laughing. Though Cyrano was normally a man of wit, at this time he was a man overcome with nerves. The thought of sitting across from his beloved, of having time to speak with her, set every nerve in his body aflame with excitement and worry. When Roxanne arrived, Cyrano felt his heart leap in his chest. As she opened the door, a beam of light shone through. The air seemed to sparkle around her, silhouetting her like a halo. It was as if she was entering the shop as a heavenly angel, too pure for this world. She smiled at Cyrano as she arrived, a warm beam on her face, and a sparkling look in her beautiful blue eyes. Cyrano quickly sent everyone else away and gave Roxanne's duenna some pastries to keep her occupied. He wanted to speak to Roxanne in total privacy, to be able to speak his mind, and if the conversation went the way he was hoping it would, for him to open his heart to Roxanne. Eager to find out why Roxanne wanted to speak with him, Cyrano kindly asked her to state her intention for the meeting, But Roxanne flashed a smile at him. That devilishly beautiful smile that made the rest of the world melt away. And she shrugged off his question. Instead, they went back to their childhood memories, where they would spend summers together. Roxanne spoke of how they used to climb trees along the riverside, about how Serrano would help Roxanne onto his back so he could ferry her across the river without her dress getting wet, about how they lay in the cool summer grass for hours until it got dark, pointing up at the constellations with those very stars reflected in their eyes. These were memories that Serrano held on to fondly. Even then, as a child, he knew that he was in love with Roxanne. He longed for a future with her. He longed to build his life around this beautiful person. But even then, he knew deep in his heart that it wouldn't be possible. And yet, sitting at the table in the bakery on that warm, sunny morning, those memories made Serrano love Roxanne even more deeply than he already did. At one point in the conversation, Roxanne noticed that Serrano had a cut on his hand. She insisted on bandaging it, though Serrano opposed it. Gently, she took his hand in hers, and at her touch, Serrano believed that he may melt into the floor beneath their feet. She tended to his wound, gently and nimbly, warning him with every rap that he needed to be more careful dueling. Her fingers lingered on his hand for just a moment too long. As they did, Serrano felt whole, complete. This was the closest he had been to Roxanne since they were children, and it felt even more powerful now than it did back then. Soon, the conversation shifted. Finally, Roxanne was ready to confess why she had come to speak with Serrano. She leaned in across the table, her eyes reflecting the early morning light from the single-paned windows around them. She told Serrano that she was in love, and as those words left her lips, Serrano's heart began to thrum in his chest, beating like a steady drum against his ribcage. She told him in her low, melodic voice, "His face is like yours, burning with spirit and imagination. He is proud and noble and young and fearless and beautiful." But on the word beautiful, Serrano could not keep his face from falling. At first, he believed that Roxanne was speaking about him. But now, that word, that one word told him that she was not. She was not in love with him, as he was in love with her. "Beautiful?" he exclaimed in his surprised haze. Roxanne furrowed her brow and gently leaned across the table, taking Serrano's hand in hers. "Yes, what's wrong?" she asked, genuinely concerned. Serrano wanted to speak of his love for her. He wanted to tell her the depth of his feelings. He wanted to tell her that he dreamt of her every night and awakened each morning, wishing for nothing more than to hold her in his arms. But he could not. He simply smiled at her, the oblivious love of his life, and replied, "With me? Nothing. It's only... He raised his bandaged hand with a smile, adding, "This fatal wound." Roxanne continued speaking of the man she was in love with. And though Serrano was in a daze, he worked carefully to hang on to every word she said. She was in love with Christian, the newest member of Serrano's company of guards, the man who had been at the theater the previous night, hoping to identify the woman he had encountered briefly and was now in love with. Roxanne begged Serrano to look out for Christian and protect him, to ensure that he would remain alive and safe in the hot-blooded group that Serrano led. Serrano agreed to protect him, wanting only to see Roxanne smile. As Roxanne left, she asked Serrano to have Christian write to her, and then she told Serrano how highly she thought of him. Her expression of friendly love and admiration for Serrano made him smile, but inside, he was a swirling well of emotions. And yet, amidst those emotions, Serrano knew one thing. He would keep his word to Roxanne. Above all else, he loved her, and he desperately wanted for her to be happy. Serrano understood unconditional love better than anyone in Paris. Later the next day, Serrano was approached by Christian. After a small tiff where Christian poked fun at Serrano's nose, Serrano was forced to compose himself. Though he swore to duel anyone who made fun of him, he could not bring himself to duel with Christian, not after the promise he made to Roxanne. Instead, he pulled Christian aside and told him of Roxanne's love for him. Christian was in awe, and yet, at the same time, he was frozen in place. He confessed to Serrano that he was not a man of intellect or wit. He could not write to Roxanne, because the moment she would read anything he had penned, he felt that she would immediately lose all feeling for him. Serrano took a deep breath as he looked at Christian. He knew Christian was not a man fit for Roxanne, but he was a beautiful man, and he could be her real partner. Serrano agreed to write Christian's letters, telling him that he was only interested in practicing his writing. But as Serrano sat at a desk that night, pen and ink in hand, he knew it was more than that. He had been aching for so long to confess his feelings for Roxanne, wanting nothing more than to spill all his emotions out into the world, wanting nothing more than to flood her with them. This provided him with an opportunity to do just that. An opportunity to show Roxanne the love and compliments and admiration that she deserved. And so, he took to the task with gusto. Every word that he penned was cathartic. Roxanne received the letters addressed as being from Christian. She sat in the window reading them, overcome with love. Absolutely touched by the words on the page, they contained words that she had longed to hear her whole life. She spoke to everyone who would listen about Christian's talent for writing poetry. She even teased Serrano in passing that Christian may even be a more talented poet than him. Serrano took her teasing in jest, merely happy to see her so blissful and overjoyed. Roxanne requested to see Christian, to thank him for the lovely letters and take their relationship even further. Nervous about the encounter, Christian met with Serrano, who prepared several speeches for him to recite to Roxanne. But in the end, Christian refused the letters, wanting instead to speak to Roxanne in his own words. Christian approached Roxanne's house and spoke to her outside under a starry night sky. Serrano stood nearby, listening to every word, ready to intervene if needed. The conversation did not go as planned. While trying to seduce Roxanne and speak of her beauty, Christian made a fool of himself. Frustrated with him, Roxanne scurried inside, not wanting to see her hurt, and not wanting to lose the catharsis of loving her through Christian. Serrano instructed Christian to stand beneath her balcony and call up to her. Roxanne stepped out on the balcony, silhouetted by the beautiful moonlight. She ordered Christian to go away, still angered by the manner in which he spoke to her. Serrano whispered to Christian, telling him what to speak up to Roxanne. And as he did so, Roxanne began to brighten, becoming more accepting of Christian. However, his hesitation while waiting for Serrano's orders on what to speak caused Roxanne to question him. "Your words are hesitant. Why?" she asked. In a gentle whisper, Serrano began to imitate Christian's voice in a low whisper. "As there's no light, they weave around in the shadows to find your ear." Roxanne smiled, responding, "For my words are no such difficulties appear." Serrano smiled at her wit, still just as transfixed by her mind. Still imitating Christian, he replied, "They find their way at once? That goes without saying. Since deep inside my heart, I receive their straying. Now I have a great heart, you a tiny ear. Besides, the words you speak fall swiftly here. Mine climb, madame. That takes them quite a time." Roxanne leaned over the railing, a dreamy look in her eyes. Yet, for a while now, they've had an easier climb. "From these gymnastics, they've acquired the skill," Serrano responded. "In truth, I speak to you as if from some high hill," Roxanne chimed. There was a magic in the air between them now, magic that Serrano desperately wished was actually directed at him. "True, and kill me if, from that high part, you let one harsh word fall upon my heart." The words flowed like honey from Serrano's lips. Their conversation continued well into the night. Overcame by emotion, Serrano finally looked up into the night sky. The years of pent-up emotions, of deep love for Roxanne, tumbled from his lips, though he spoke for another. All again that come to me, I'd throw towards you, wild without making garlands. I love, I'm stifled, I love you. I'm maddened. No more. I tell you, your name in my heart's a little bell, and as I tremble, Roxanne, all the time, so all the time the bell rings, your name's its echo. I remember all about you, love all of it, I say. I know last year, one day, on the 12th of May, going out that morning, you altered your hair. I'm so used to taking it for daylight, like the glare you find when you stare too long at the sun. Seeing a red disc everywhere when it's gone, that I, when I quit the flames that flood me, see a stain of dazzling gold clothe all around me. This feeling, surely, that fills me, that's terrible and jealous, is truly that of love. He always has a melancholy fury of love, and yet he's still not selfish, purely. Ah, how I'd give my happiness for yours, though, even though you yourself might never know. If sometimes, perhaps, far off, I might delight in the happy laughter born of my sacrifice. Each look of yours excites a new virtue, a new courage in me. Now, at last, do you begin to see? For you yourself, do you allow? Can you feel my soul at all rise through the shadow? Oh, but truly this night's too beautiful, too sweet. I'm saying all this to you, you listening. You, to me, too sweet. In my dreams, even at the least humble, I've never hoped for such. There's nothing else to do but die now. It's through words alone I know that I say you tremble in the blue branches, though. For you do tremble, like a leaf among the leaves. For you do tremble, whether you wish it so. I feel your hand's adorable trembling as it plays down the whole net of the jasmine sprays. Touched by his words, Roxanne found herself leaning over the balcony, the words flowing from her lips full of passion. Yes, I tremble, and I weep, and I love, and I am yours. You've intoxicated me. And with that, Christian and Roxanne's fate was sealed. Though the words tumbled from Serrano's lips, it was Christian who soon wed Roxanne. But Serrano did not fret, nor was he filled with anger. When Serrano and Christian were sent to war, every day Serrano was able to write letters to Roxanne, posing as Christian. He was able to compliment her the way she deserved. He was able to spill his soul onto the page for her to receive it. He was able to love her unconditionally. And with that, he had no regrets. I hope you have enjoyed this story and that it has brought you a night of peaceful, restful sleep. Please join us again tomorrow for another sleep story. Until then, sweet dreams.